You have tuned into Home, Helen Armstrong of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. And here we sit for another beautiful day. Again, the scripture just said, this is the day that the Lord made. I will rejoice and be glad therein. On today, our lesson is going to be a psalm of determination. So grab your Bibles and get your pen and paper so you can take you some notes and come on in and have a seat. Make yourself right at home because God have a word. I have a word regarding a psalm of determination. Our scripture reference is going to be found Psalms 101 verses number 1 through verse number 8. This is fine to David determined in his time to serve God by remembering who God is and by setting personal spiritual goals for himself. And we should the same thing, set personal for ourselves spiritual goals of where you want to move forward in God and in the things of God. And so let's take a look at our scripture on today. Again, it's Psalms 101, verses number 1, number 8. And it reads on this line, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked in my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slander his name will I cut off. That have a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deep shall not be in my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my face, in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off the wicked doer from the city of the Lord. Our focus verse that we're going to be centering talk on today is going to be found over in Psalms 101, verse number 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will fill my house with a perfect heart. So let's take a look at the scripture, and let's look at what our scripture text is speaking of. From the heart of David, this was talking about when these things were going on in his life. No portion of the scripture is more widely read than the book of Psalms. Pocket version of the New Testament also includes the book of Psalms and Proverbs, and the church service frequently include readings from the Psalms. Yet, the Psalms are not easily understood due to the difficulty of understanding the parallelism, metric pattern, or ancient imaginary, or even the metaphors and the Hebrew poetry function. No one has yet discovered the formula for unlocking the secret of the somatic rhythm, because it is unknown whether to grade the structure stress or symbol count. Rich insight and inspiration, the book of Psalms contains wisdom, spiritual guidance, prophecies, songs of praise, and declaration of God's true virtues and attributes. The hermeneutical approach to the interpretation sometimes require the readers to give more meaning to the entire psalm into individual terms. Due to the artistic nature of the writing, word studies are not as determined the book of Psalms as they are in New Testament epistles. The Hebrews have found more focus on the Psalms than just singing them at him. In both the temple and the synagogue, there was a focal part of the service. Often the writers wrote prophetic messages to God in a prophetic form. Not only could one more easily remember them, but also they offer their message with more emotion and power. 101, King David, he spoke up to the Lord and his determination to maintain purity in his empire by removing wickedness from him and from those under his authority, his felt that he would bring blessing upon the nation, and he would become a godly leader. One might say that this a prayer of commitment from the lips of a man in authority is the charter by which David ruled under God. So here we find David made determination and determined it in his heart and mind that he was purpose, that he was not going to allow any wicked thing to be seen to him. And we as children of God, we must continue to be careful of the things that we set before us as we rule or do and operate in the kingdom of God. Now let's look it up here. Understanding who God is. Pursuing God in order to know him and to have a relationship with him is the essence of our faith. Psalms 42, 1 through 3, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul for thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and afford God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The most marvelous aspect of a child of God's faith is the nature and the work of our God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanity is not just a philosophy of life. It's a decree for good behavior and social order or ancient tradition. The core of our dedication or devotion centers on God's nature, his essence, and his mission. Paul preached on Mars Hill about the virtues and the result of pursuing God, that they should seek the Lord if happily they may go after him and him, though he would have be not far from every one of us, Acts 17 and 27. Now, let's look at some of the attributes of God or some of the things that we know of God. A God of judgment. And we're going to look at a God of mercy and God to peace. And let's look at those three aspects. When we consider the judgment of God, we naturally feel uncomfortable. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Expectation and the wages of sin is death. And we find that over Psalms 98 and 9, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Romans 6 and 23. The Bible is replete with example of God's severe punishment upon sinners. Nevertheless, as David contemplated the judgment, he did not shrink into dooming move boredom for boredom. He rather burst forth with praise unto God. Psalms 101, the word judgment come from the Hebrew word which means to judge or to bring matters to the rule of right, to administer justice. The King James Version translates this word as rather than judgment. David rejoiced that God would ultimately bring the iniquity or equality of life to justice. Understanding the balance of God's justice, Job said, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. Job 31 and 6. The psalmist declared, the Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And we'll find that over in Psalm 103 and 6. We have a comfort in knowing that the mass murderer, despotic dictators and the notorious criminal and the rich businessman that defraud the poor will ultimately receive justice. On the one hand, those who have made a sacrifice to maintain their integrity and to help others may receive proper acknowledgement in this life, but they will one day receive their reward as well. Now let's look at the God of mercy. David rejoiced with singing for the mercies of the Lord, even as he lived under the austere commandments and law of Moses. Old Testament believers live up under the burden of celebrating rituals, ceremonies, and strict commandments that was impossible to fulfill. Nevertheless, a mercy seat existed inside the holies of holies that served as a sort of atonement for the imperfect people of Israel. On the annual day of atonement, the high priest took the blood of the goat into holies of holy and applied it to the mercy seat. See, 9 and 7. The Shekinah, a non-biblical word used in the rabbinic literature to identify the glory of God, would descend wrathful judgment against the accumulated sins of the people. Upon touching the innocent blood of the goat, the wrath would turn to mercy and would atone for the sins of Israel for one more year. How profound. Psalms 103, verses 7 and 8. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Now, let's take a look here at God to praise. The word praise appears 182 times in the book of Psalms. The Hebrew word Psalms would be mizmor, which means a song sung to musical accompaniment. The actual Hebrew title for the word song is tehillah, which means praise or songs of praise. The Hebrew hymns or psalms of praise contains three elements. And these three, one, a call to worship. Worship leaders urge the congregation to praise the Lord. Number two, a description of God's act and attributes which give motivation for praise. A conclusion or calling for fresh praise or obedience. For clarity, perhaps one could divide the Psalms into four categories. And these four categories would be, number one, victory song. Psalms rejoice in God's deliverance and result, and the resulting Hebrew victory over in Psalm 68. Number two, a processional psalm. These psalms, the longing and expectation of pilgrims and worshipers as they approach the temple, perhaps even accompanying the Ark of the Covenant. Psalms 84, 122, and Psalms 1-2. Number three, a psalm of Zion. These psalms exalted the Lord for his majestic presence. Psalms 46. And 48, 76. Enthronement psalms. These psalms celebrated the reign of God as the Lord of nations, calling nations, all creations to praise the Lord. And you'll find that over in Psalms 47, Psalms 93, and then Psalms 96 through 99. Not only was David a shepherd, a king, a musician, and a giant slayer, but he was also a worshiper. One of the greatest display of his intensity of worship is manifested in David's tabernacle, which was an open tent erected on Mount Zion, where the people of Israel conduct unprecedented worship. Choirs and orchestras was organized, and they worked in the ship for vocal praise and worship around the Ark of the Covenant 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you'll see 1 Chronicles, chapter number 15, verses 1 through 29, 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. And so here they were. They had choirs, they had orchestras, and they would worked in ship, praising and worshiping God centered around the Ark of the Covenant, and there was praises taking place 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so it is throughout the land, those in Africa, those in India, those that are in the Philippines, those who are all across, around the world, they have been strategically set there so that they can be worshiping God and that praises will be going unto God 24 hours a day. As we continue to worship God and give him all the praise and glory due unto his name. Perhaps the exuberant perpetual praise held the wrath of God that should have been resulted from their break in the Hebrew protocol. And again, we're talking about 1 Chronicles 15, 1 through 29 and 16, 1 through 43. Now, let's go to another point here, understanding our responsibility. What is our responsibility as people of God? Call out to show forth the praises of God. And that's what we want to be about, the praises of our God, showing forth the praise of our God. Now, let's take a look here. David understood that worship praise was not enough. The flaw of duplicity within the human psyche allowed people to say, temporary, demonstrate one thing, and then it is possible for a person to say, I love the Lord, then live away in a way that is opposite than that claim. God's nature is different in that he completely pure and true. He acts in perfect agreement with words. And we must exercise discipline, not only say, I love the Lord, but also live a life that proves is or that love that you have. To walk wisely, let's look at that next point of walking wisely. Wisdom is the virtue attribute of God, and we must seek to get wisdom so that we might please him. Let's look at that scripture. And scripture reference, it states, Proverbs 4, verses number 5 through 7, get wisdom, get understanding, and forget it not. Decline from the verse of my mouth, forsake her not. Preserve thee, love thee, love thee shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all thy getting. Get understanding. The Bible exhorts us to pray and seek wisdom, and God will give it to us. See Proverbs 6 and 16, James 1 and 5. God's wisdom is superior to the wisdom of mankind. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he that is wise in his own craftiness. 1 Corinthians 3 and 19. God also has provided spiritual gifts, Paul calls a words of wisdom. It is a prophoric of wisdom, a just word provided by the Holy Spirit for a perpetuation. And let's look at 1 Corinthians. You'll find that over 1 Corinthians over 8. Now, let's look at the next thing of our responsibility. First, it said basically. And then we look at where it said, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither let it decline from the words of your mouth. Then, now, let's look, because the next thing that we are exhorted to do is to examine heart. The psalmist wrote that he would walk with a perfect heart. In the house of God, or in his house. And we'll find that over in Psalm, again, 1 and 2. I want to just reread that in our here because these are so key. David said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Or when thou come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And David purposed in his heart that he would not allow anything, any wickedness, to dwell in his heart. And so is we. The real person is on display in his own house. In public, we put on a front, but in the privacy of our home, we relax that front, let down our hair, or let down our guard. David meant that he would search his heart to purge all defilement so that he might be acceptable in God's sight, not being double-minded, but having the fullness of purpose and desire. In this vein, he prayed the explicit prayer. You'll find that over in Psalm 51, verses 9 through 10, and also Psalms 139, verses 23 through 24. And look at those two passages of scriptures. Psalms 51, 9 and 10 state, hide away from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Then he goes on to Psalms 139, verses 20 and 24 and state, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thought. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The human mind is so clever at justifying sin until it's just for a person for his own heart. And you'll see 10 verses 9 through 10. Paul said his own personal judgment was just distinct responsibility. But with me, it was very small thing that I should be judged of you. Or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is the Lord. That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 4. Paul further exhorted Timothy concerning iniquity of heart. If a man therefore puts himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Sanctifying and for the mass prepared unto every good work. Flee also useful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with which with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 21 through 22. We should pray the prayer that God would examine us for what we were. And that we should have the courage to change and to be like him. Now, let's look at the next point, which would be no provision for the flesh. David made strong pledges to God to keep himself from evil. He wrote, I will set no wicked things before my eyes. And we find that over in the Psalms, we saw Psalm 101 and 3. The first five senses and the eyes is perhaps the most susceptible to the temptation. In the first temptation of the Bible, Eve saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took other food, therefore, and eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and did eat. Genesis 3 and 6. It was through the eyes that temptation affected the human will. In his first epistle, John warned the believers about the entry point of temptation. And we'll find it over in 1 John 15 through 16. Love not the world, neither the world nor in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the lust of the flesh, and lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so those are the things that John began to exhort the body of Christ about. And when A confronted about his sin of disobedience, he confessed that it all began when he saw the hidden treasure among the evil spoil. And you'll see that over Joshua chapter number 7, verse 9. Jesus vividly illustrated the propensity to sin with eyes when he warned by saying unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with already in his heart. Matthew 5 and 28. David made a commitment to God that he would not deliver things before his eyes that would tempt him to sin. Not only did David vow to avoid the lust of the eye, he also pledged to avoid the people him to be tempted with sin. He bluntly declared, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth tarry in my sight." Psalms 101:7. Paul taught the Corinthians the inappropriateness of their association with the activity around the he. But, right? What communion with darkness, and what concord have Christ with Baal? Part have he that believeth with an infidel. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 7, 14 and 5 state the particular scripture that I just read. Paul further exhorted the Ephesians to have no fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5 and 5, avoid associating evil people unless it be for witnessing to them. Becoming close people ultimately affect our dedication to God. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now command you, Brent, in the name of our name, Jesus Christ, we withdraw yourself from every brethren that walk disorderly and not and which received of us. Let's look at the next point that I'm going to look at is maintaining a right perspective, serving with faithfulness, and we're going to look at standing against sin, and we're going to look at these two aspects and things of what is speaking to our heart. David choose to select good moral people to serve with him for the purpose of unity and God's blessing upon the nation of Israel. Paul exhorted Timothy to be careful about ordaining people to ministry without proper knowledge of their character and experience. And that's why it's very important, and because you must know the character of the person, and you must know their experience as well. And that's why sometimes it's good for us just to learn those that are in ministry. It's allowing God to form your character and bless your experiences so that you can become grounded and rooted in God, and that you can begin to bear that fruitness that God is looking for, those fruit that he's looking for in his people. In 5 and 12, 1 Timothy 5 and 22. Furthermore, the New Testament gave rigid requirement of those in ministry. And you'll see 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, Titus chapter number 1, verses 7 through 9. When evaluating people, caution order, because the Bible warns us not to judge a person's salvation. See 7, verses 1 through 6, Luke 6:37 and John 7:24. Paul admonished, therefore, judge nothing before time until the Lord come, who will bring light to the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. 1 Corinthians 4:5. God manifested. God is going to, and all would know, and no one can deny when God is moving. And when God has done, we will see the fruit in your life. If you repented, if you have given your life, if you've been filled with the precious gifts of the Holy, if you have been baptized in Jesus for the remission of your sin, we will know. We will see the fruit of that. And that's why I say it will be brought to light. The hidden things of darkness, it will be brought to light and things. Nevertheless, we can and should identify good character and manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. Further, a searcher is responsible to evaluate the performance of its oaths under his authority. This is necessary, or her authority. This is necessary aspect of responsibility in creating and maintaining an effect ongoing our project and things. Now let's look at the next point, standing against sin. David used radical language in declaring his decision and plea to stand against sin. I will early destroy all the work of the land that I may cut off the wicked doer from the city of the Lord. Psalms 101:8. The wicked will flee, feel the lash of the law and motivate to correct their way. But Paul urged Christian to respect ruling authority for their authority in our daily lives. And we'll read that over in Psalms 13, verses 3 through 9. And it reads on this line: Fools are not a terror to good work, but to evil. When thou did not be of power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. He is the God to these for good. But if thou do that which is evil, for he beareth not in vain. For he is the minister of a revenger to execute wrath around the evil. Every Christian should be proactive against sin wherever he encounters it. We can express our own opposition to sin by voting, being civically active, being outspoken, providing good role model, praying against evil, given of our resources to fight sin-fighting causes. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? If it's therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men, Matthew 13. We are in the world, but not a part of the world, 1 John 2:15. However, the church can emulate a positive energy and provide an example in our society through prayer and by being godly witness in this world. Now, let's take a look here. We have looked at various aspects about David's life. David, he talked about he wanted to understand who God was, and he talked about as a heart panted after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And so he recognized that God was a judge, and that God was a God of mercy, and God wanted us to praise him. And then we looked at several different aspects about Tehillah, which is the Hebrew word meaning praise. We talked about that. The three elements of the hymns and the psalms are there to call to worship, a description of God's act or his attributes that will also motivate us to lift up our hands and to praise God. Then also, it was a conclusion or calling for fresh praise and obedience unto God and to the things of God. Then we looked at the types of psalms. Number one, we looked at songs that we find in the psalms, like Psalm 68. And then we looked at processional psalms, when they procession in, the worshipers came in. Psalms 83. Psalms 122, Psalms 132. Then we looked at the songs of Zion. You'll find that over in Psalms 46 and Psalms 48 and Psalms 76. Then we looked at the enthronement psalm, Psalms 47, Psalms 93, Psalms 99 through Psalms 99. And we looked at all those psalms because God prays. And David, he determined in his mind, he determined in his heart that he was going to empty himself out of all of the things that was defiling him. It is, children of God, we want to empty ourselves, our lives, of the things that would defile or our worship before God. And that's what Son David did. He determined that he was going to walk upright before God. No evil thing would be set before him. And that was the heart of David. Now let's look here. Many people have called Psalms 101 the householder psalm, the mirror of the street. Every parent or supervisor or parent or leader in any capacity will do it to regulate his or her responsibility by this psalm. If a person follows these principles, they will be more harmonious in their relationship. Perhaps one could consider this psalm as of the Lord. David began Psalms 109 with praise, which was what Jesus instructed his disciples to pray in the my prayer. And you'll find over in Matthew 6 through verses number 9. In the Psalms of Thanksgiving, the psalmist declared, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and his name." Psalms 104. Psalms should always precede our initial approach to God. Before we approach God, we should come before him with thanksgiving, come before God with praise. That's why it opened that. He said, "Our Father." At that time, the writer began to establish the relationship that he and God had by saying, "Our Father, which is in heaven." He talked about the throne and the authority that God had heaven and earth, and begin to hollow out the name of the Lord before he even begin to ask of God anything. And sometimes we just need to just hollow out a place where we can just worship God and just bring praise and glory unto the Lord our God as we worship God. And just give him the praise that's due unto his name. And praise should always precede our approach unto God. While music as a whole is a language of the heart and soul, singing was the vehicle David often used to proclaim his praise. David made personal pledges of consecrated behavior and integrity of heart. Now, and that's what I believe, that we as children of God, that we must make a pledge and a consecrated effort to consecrate our behavior and the integrity of our hearts as we live out our expressed theology or our love or our love for the Word, or what the Word has called us to do as children of God. His desire, not form perfunctionary or as an attempt to hold wholesome demeanor or good character, but he guarded his life by avoiding temptation. He determined not to set things eyes that would lead him astray. And sometimes we need to just determine in our heart to move us into a place where we need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord our God and say, "I am not. If I know that that's going to defile my heart or defile my mind, I'm not going to listen to it and things, but I'm going to walk in the integrity of my heart." And the behavior will be a consecrated here unto the Lord our God. And we should determine that in our heart to walk uprightly before God. He determined not to set things before his eyes that might lead him astray. Although David was not a perfect man, as we recognize by far, he was not a perfect man. And we can look at that and see and think that he was not a perfect man. When we look and examine the script, we can recognize that David was not a perfect person, but he had a perfect desire to please God. Now let's look here. David made pledges again to make sure that his behavior was glory and honor unto God. Although David again was not perfect, he was always quick. Here it is. This is the key. He was always quick to repent of his wrong. And I think that that is so vital for us apply to our lives every day, that we must be quick to repent. If we recognize that we've done something, done that wasn't pleasing unto God, to immediately to repent of that and ask God to forgive us. And that's what the example that David had given unto us as children of God. He said, wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse my sins. For I have acknowledged my transgressions and my sins is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother. That's Psalm 51, verses 2 and 5. Sometimes I need to just say, God, wash me. Wash me, not only just wash me, but like David said, he said, wash me thoroughly and from all of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. And I think that that should still be a prayer upon the hearts of the people of God. For I acknowledge, hear what David's saying. David said, I acknowledge my transgression and my sins are ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might buy when thy speak it and be clear when thy judge. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so David wanted God to just thoroughly to wash him. And I can just feel that power of those from David's heart and the authenticity of his spirit and the purity of his heart to want it to be pure and clean before God. David pledged to rule his kingdom with discretion, purging his kingdom of those who were wicked, proud, slanderers, deceitful, liars, and evildoers, cutting the kingdom off disciplines. He will not infect with their, he will not be infected with their evil behavior, and he behaved himself or those who led him in the wrong way. The New Testament, Paul demeaned that the Corinthians stopped tolerating sin and fellowshipping with men or people living with their father's wife. And you'll see that over in 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. John was just as radical in his instruction to, if there come any among you and bringeth not this doctrine, bring them not to your house, neither bid it in Godspeed. 2 John 10. Finally, David has to acknowledge the faithfulness and those who walk perfectly and toward them by allowing them to live peacefully and fully and clean. Likewise, our Heavenly Father take notice of God, and he rewards their righteousness, reward them for their righteousness, or standing right before God and doing the right thing before God. There is a reward for you holding fast and doing the right thing, even when it's against popularity. And even when it goes against, take a stand and stand for holiness and righteousness. The Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the just are true and righteous altogether. More to be the desire are they go, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of there is a great reward. That's Psalm 119, verses 9, verse through 11. And then Revelation 22, verse number 12, and behold, I will come quickly, and my reward is with me, every person or man, according as his work shall be. And we must recognize that our work will be. And that it will be so. And so that we must and should take note, and I invite you to look at this psalm and go back with fresh eyes and begin to say, God, how can I govern my life like the psalmist did and cried out and said, I will sing of mercy and unto thee, O Lord, will I. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when will come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will see before my eyes. I hate them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A forward shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth their neighbors, him will all. He that have an high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. My eyes shall be up to the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Way shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that keep lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the other land, that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. So far, that's the reading of that scripture that we talk about on today. And we must recognize, child of God, that they have given good overview here of how we can center our life around the things of God and become that godly child of God, living out our love for God and the things of God, living a devoted life unto the Lord our God. Again, examining our heart. Number two, walking wisely. Number three, making no provisions for the flesh. And then those key principles are vital for us as children of God. And I invite you to go back Proverbs verse number 4, verses number 5 through 7, when he talks about getting them and get understanding. And then the psalmist admonishes not to forget it, to hold on, not to decline that word, but to hold fast to those and walk it out and live it throughout our life daily. And that's where we have to, as children of God, daily renew our mind. Thinking upon God, thinking about the holy things of God. And the Bible exhorts us to pray for and seek wisdom, and God will give it to us. James let us know that if asked, he will give it to us liberally and upbraided it not. So it's there for our asking. And then also taking time to examine our heart and look at our hearts. As we read Psalms 151, verses number 9 and 10, and in Psalms 139, verses number 23 and 29. And search me, God, know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in an everlasting way. So he the psalmist would begin to just open up their entire life, their entire being unto God, and allowing God, to examine them, to look deeply down in the core essence and say, if anything that's not like you, God, if there's any wicked in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. And there's a song that we used to sing. It said, the light of heaven just shine on us. And if we find any wicked thing that's in, take it out and strengthen us. And giving God measuring, sometimes it's hard or it's difficult and struggle, especially when hurt. Sometimes, even if you've been betrayed or let down or wounded, you opened your heart and someone betrayed your trust, to be able to open sometimes can be a place of struggle. But I invite you, day by day, open your heart to God. And you can do that in the own place of your home and say, God, the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And as we begin to open our hearts unto God, and say, God, I give you permission. And we must recognize that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is like, God's Spirit. And that's what the scripture says. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that God is love. Speaking of that, as God is the spirit and God is love, and we open our heart unto God truly and authentically before God with holy hands lifted up before God and saying, God, wash me thoroughly. Cleanse me. My disappointments. Lord, I forgive those that have hurted me and transgressed against me, traded my trust, dear God. I forgive them, and I release them into the hand of a just God. And what healing virtue will just flow in and through you and begin to say, blot it all out, God. Wash me, create me a clean heart, oh God, and receive a right spirit within me. And he cried out, and so as you're examining your heart and crying out unto God, the more in our hearts to the word of God, the more we say, God, our mission. And the spirit is like a dove. And that's why we see it as symbolic. Because when you chew a dove away, it's going to leave. It's going to go. And so it is with the Holy Ghost. When we quench it or chew it away or shunned it away, guess what? Unless you invite it to come in and suck and come in and abode with you, or Lord, fill me with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. I want speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. I want that. I hear of it. I heard of it. God will lead you and guide you into all truth. If you cry out unto him, he will do it for us, children of God, as we open our hearts, as we open our minds. So I just invite you to consider all of God and all that God has for you. It's more that he has for you. He brought you to this place to say there's more of me that I want to splendor unto my children. And I pray that this has helped you and give you a greater understanding, because they say, I want to be washed thoroughly washed. Not only wash me thoroughly, but also I want you to cleanse me from my sin. And when an individual get baptized in Jesus' name, sin of sin, that cleansing thoroughly take place. That washing and that cleansing transpires into their heart. That name of Jesus is invoked over them, and they are washed and cleansed. Blood of the Lamb. And so I pray that this has been a tremendous thing to you. David was determined in heart, in his mind, to please God. He was determined to serve God, to remember God by setting spiritual goals for himself. And we, children of God, we must do the same. Set those goals for our lives. Parameters for our life, that God, I am determined in my heart to walk in integrity and have godly behavior, bring glory and honor unto the Lord our God. And I worship you with holy hands and a clean heart before you, dear God. And as we allow ourselves to be the men and women of God that God has called us out to be, by yielding and submitting our life. God said to humble yourself up under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. We humble ourselves up under the mighty hand of God. God will exalt us in due time, in due season. God is going to do it in the life of his children, and we must trust him as never before, without doubt, that God will do it on our behalf. And so in my closing, I pray again that your heart is determined to be more and more and closer, drawing nigh unto God. Because the scripture says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And so as you draw nigh unto God and inviting and bidding God, Lord, I bid you to come. I invite you to come, and I invite you to do it in and through my life. Watch God work it out on your behalf and do it in and through your life. And so God is such a gracious God, and he loves all of his creation. And he's calling us closer and closer unto him. And heal Israel, but our God is one. God is calling for the children of God today to live holy and to live righteous and upright. And he's all into the unity of the faith, bringing revelation of who he is through his son, Jesus Christ, and even his righteousness. And so this has been a blessing to get the opportunity to even to go back and to even take a moment to show as well. And I pray that you have an opportunity to send us an email to let us know how this has blessed you or have it edified and built you or give you more tools for victorious living, empowering you to know that we must walk wisely, that we must forbid the works of the flesh, and that we must also examine our heart daily and think in the scripture and my scripture and my scripture, see whether we be in the faith. Are we in the faith? Are you in the faith? That is, God, am I in the faith in things? Am I doing what you want to do? Lead and guide me into all, dear God, because I want to be the man or the woman of God that you have called me to be. And like David said, wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from all my. I invite you to consider that baptism is a mighty baptism in the precious name of Jesus for the remission of your sin and being filled with the precious gift of the God. Do a great and effectual work in and through your life. This is my prayer that you've been blessed. Remember, I always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away from your blessing. And all you need to do is to ask. Because the scripture over in Matthew 7:7 states, ask shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asks, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Again, that was Matthew chapter number 7, verses number 7 and 8. Thank you for being with us on today, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making straight the path of our Lord, giving you understanding and empowering tools that you can go out and be the woman of God that God has to be his adorer as you're representing God in your daily living. May the blessings of God continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore in your life, child of God. Gracious God, we thank you, O God, for this opportunity, Lord. Come together to walk, Lord, and to sup and talk with one another, dear God. We ask, O God, that your blessing will continue to transcend all down upon, Lord, your people as we endure to be the man and woman of God that you called us out to be. O Lord, Lord, how excellent is thy name. Lord, encourage my brother and sister, Lord, in God. God, the Lord, strengthen them, fortify them, undergird them, and give them, Lord, necessary means that they need, oh God. Those in there, Lord. Those over in Uganda, Lord. Those that even, Lord, in the Philippines, dear God. Our prayer covenant partners, dear Lord. Father, I ask, and let not a need go lack, oh God. Father, send them help, Lord. Send them a right now word, sure word. And oh God, give them helpers, oh God, that will come along the side to strengthen them, that will undergird them, will fortify them, Lord. Cover them with your blood, Lord. Cover them, Lord, with your strength, dear God. Oh Lord, our Lord, fresh anointing and fresh praise down in the heart as they detect, like, oh God, to walk the integrity of their hearts. And the behavior will bring glory and honor unto you. Help us, oh God, to be the man and the women of God that you call us out to be, and will forever give you glory, Lord. And forever, dear God. Father, this is our prayer that your divine and your sacred will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together and offer up a praise unto God. We know the universal soul, which is hallelujah. As we give God the praise with the words of our mouth, all praise and glory belong to our God. Can you just shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Glory be unto God. I'm so glad that you're joining me today. You're all welcome in my home, here at home. And so until we meet again the same time and then at the same station, even on next week, we are excited about what God is doing in your life. Yes, in your life, God, I am excited about what God is going to do in and through your life. Continue to draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh unto you. Truly, this is my prayer, and may the team to keep and strengthen you and the ministry that God has called you to. May God bless you is my prayer. Please send me a message that you have heard from us on today. From us, you get an opportunity. Just go and rate this. If this was a blessing, may the Lord our God bless you. It's my prayer. Bye-bye.